Good evening.
Good evening.
My goodness. Welcome to new people. Welcome to old friends. This is lovely. Let's do introductions around.
Mm. Wendy,
Francie,
Jeffrey,
Dave,
Karen.
John.
Samia.
Joe.
Paul.
Carolyn.
Ellie.
Judy.
Dominique.
Angie. So, did you all come together, the three of you? Not at all. It just happened. How did you hear about us?
Your website.
Same.
We're together. Dave and I are together. Dave looked it up online.
I guess that's why we have it. Welcome. You're very welcome. We are studying a very old and very fresh and new teaching by Dogen Zenji. It's one of the first ones that he did after he came back from Japan, from China, back home. He took a very, very dangerous trip across the China Sea, risked his life in great storms and fragile little boats 900 years ago. You can imagine. Went to China, found a teacher, and when he came back, he realized that what he had learned was the essence of Buddha's teaching, which was meditation. And although Buddhism had been in Japan for many, many, many years, meditation was not the thing. It was all the ideas, all the rituals, the elaborations of what Buddha taught, so that everybody knew all the words, but the experience itself on which the words are based had not been cultivated at all. So one of the first things he wrote was bendowa, in the form of basically questions and answers. So there's sort of some of them sort of dorky questions, like nobody just silly people would ask, because anybody would ask if they didn't know anything about it. And then he would have a chance to explain. And what he really is doing all through here is just sending us back to sitting down for a while, which is how my teacher expressed Zazen practice. We're all running around all the time, and he said sometimes it's very helpful just to sit down for a while. Just come home. So it's then discussed by a wonderful teacher thank you, Wendy, Uchiyama Roshi, who was contemporary with our teacher, my teacher. And my teacher sat with him at Antaiji in Japan back in the beginning of the 20th century, or the middle of the 20th century. And he was the student of a very famous teacher, Sawaki Roshi. So that lineage is a part of our inheritance too, you could say, as far as way of talking about this practice, which is very straightforward, very no-nonsense, very undecorated. Not easy, because what we do is not so easy, but very encouraging. We've gotten to question six. So this is about, this says, for what reason does Buddhism encourage entering realization through meditation only in sitting among the four different postures? Sitting, walking, standing, lying down. But sitting is the way we do this. How come? Uchiyama Roshi talks about sitting in a chair. He does a little riff on how you really can't sit in a chair. And of course, I'm saying, yes, you can. Yes, you can. And then he folds and says, well, yes, yes, you really can. If you have to, you can do it. And so I want to encourage you all to know that, because we all start out, or easily start out, on the floor, and it's the best way because it's the most stable. If you can get both knees on the floor and your tailbone a little bit lifted, you can sit there for a long, long time, and your chest is open and your belly is free, and so you can breathe freely. Sitting in a chair, I always think, is like being a blade of grass in a breeze, and you kind of are not nearly as stable and as still as those of us who sit in a chair know. And so we devise ways of planting our feet and keeping our feet very connected to the ground, because that's our connection. And then making sure that we are tipped a bit and uplifted so that we can be as comfortable as possible. And then allow the breezy kind of natural flow of the body as it sits in the chair. It's fine. And just allow the breath to come and go as it will. He quotes the ancestor Nagarjuna, who praises Zazen as the Dharma gate of ease and delight. But Uchiyama Roshi says, in order to continue Zazen for one's whole life, it is not enough to feel comfortable. We must thoroughly understand Buddha Dharma. It should be the content of our Zazen, the truth. Buddha Dharma just means the truth, the authenticity of our experience, not fancy ideas, not aspirations, not hopes and dreams, just the real thing, just being present where you are. We should carefully listen to Buddha Dharma, to the truth, in order to practice Zazen without deviation. So that's a short little chapter, mostly about Antaiji, which was pleasant for me because my brother went there in those days. He bought a zafu and a zabutan at Haiku Zendo and packed up his Lapland-ish wife and went to Japan to seek enlightenment, and stayed with Gary Snyder and Gary Snyder's wife for a while. That was way back in the olden days. So this is based on that, really. It's from those days. And I thought, oh, so much has changed since then. So question number 7 is a very interesting one. As for the practice of Zazen, people who have not yet realized Buddha Dharma should attain enlightenment through practicing the way of Zazen. But what could those who already have clarified the true Buddha Dharma expect from doing Zazen? Once you get it, why bother? That's really sort of the question that he took to China. Said, if everybody has Buddha nature, then why do we have to practice? And certainly, if we get it, if we understand, then certainly why should we practice? It's a waste of time. But that isn't quite the point. He came back from China realizing that it's not that all of us have Buddha nature, but it's all is Buddha nature. Each one is Buddha nature. That's very different. There's no having because it's already. We don't have to go someplace. It's right here. So Dogen says about this question, although it is said not to relate dreams to fools, and it is useless to give oars to mountain folks, I'll give you further instruction. I like that, oars to mountain people. Thinking that practice and enlightenment are not one is no more than a view that is outside of the way. So this is the point about Zazen. Outside of the way, says Uchiyama, means non-Buddhist, those who have nothing to do with Buddha's teaching. People without true understanding of Buddhism think that practice and enlightenment are something like someone wanting to be a barber. First, one becomes an apprentice and learns the techniques of hair cutting. And after a certain period of apprenticeship experience, one becomes an independent barber. Buddha Dharma is not like that, says Uchiyama. It isn't like practicing the piano and getting good at it. We never get good at it. There isn't any good at it. So Dogen says, in Buddha Dharma, practice and enlightenment are one and the same. Because it is the practice of enlightenment, a beginner's wholehearted practice of the way is exactly the totality of original enlightenment. The beginner's practice is exactly the totality of original enlightenment. So this is where Suzuki Roshi's very famous and wonderful book that has made such a difference in our understanding and the introduction of Zen to the West, Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind, that however we begin, we're always beginning again. We're all beginners. And in the practice, enlightenment is that is what practice is enlightenment itself. So we don't practice to get enlightened. We practice enlightenment, or enlightenment practices us, you could say. It's both. Dogen says, for this reason, in conveying the essential attitude for practice, it is taught not to wait for enlightenment outside of practice. It's already the enlightenment of practice. Enlightenment is endless. Since it is the practice of enlightenment, practice is beginningless. So Uchiyama Roshi talks about the word practice, which in Japanese is shu. And he says it has a vague meaning, but it's about putting things right or making things ready. And so in terms of sitting practice, it's about setting ourselves correctly, which means posture, being able to be upright and breathing freely as possible, and as relaxed and comfortable as possible at the same time. He says, the reality of life becomes straightforward and carries out the reality of life in accordance with the reality of life. In my expression, Uchiyama says, enlightenment is to be the reality of life, and practice is to actualize the reality of life. So it's also about enacting. We don't just sit like a frozen thing. We are not things, we are life flowing through life. So this encouragement that our very first sazen is enlightenment itself. Sometimes we get a taste of it and it brings us back. Sometimes it just seems it doesn't take for a while. There's so many different experiences of the very first zazen that if we expect something, it won't be there. It's always a surprise. And yet that, whatever that is, whatever part of life that is expressed through each one of us is what it is. That's it. Then he talks about reality. This is Uchiyama. Reality is your subtle inward attitude at the moment. Reality should actualize reality in accordance with reality. You cannot say that whatever you do is reality. In practice, there are mistaken or false realities. So we cannot justify ourselves saying whatever we do is reality. That's the old kind of Zen. They thought, oh, whatever we do, that's enlightenment, and let's go out and have a party. and that was the original hippie idea of how to do Zen. So Uchiyama says, first of all, we should always aim at practice in accordance with reality. Be honest. Really figure out where you are in the moment. What is this really? Aim sincerely for the posture of Zazen with your bones and muscles and let go of thoughts. Only when we have this aim does our Zazen become enlivened. Essentially, just ever fresh self returns to ever fresh self. That's it. But that's a very important point, that we don't just sit and zone out. We don't go into dreamland, or when we go into dreamland, we wake up and come back to reality again, which is more likely how it works. Our mind is full of stories, full of thoughts. That part never ends. We can't get rid of our mind. It's what we're born with. And we've been conditioned for however many years we are, and so we carry all that conditioning with us. We hold it as ourself. You could say that we ourselves are a bowl that holds our whole experience of life. And in Zazen, if we're able to contain it, create a container for our life so that it's not falling off in one place or zooming off into a dream world in another, but to bring it all into one place where it actually exists. It's only one place. It just feels like many. So Zazen is creating a holding, kind holding place for the whole thing that we call my life, my reality. And we watch our thoughts coming and going. We get caught by our thoughts, and then we let them go. And the more we sit, the less attached we are to our thoughts, the less hurt we are by our thinking. It's just thinking. And all the time that the thinking is going on, we're breathing, our heart is pumping, we're wherever we are, just being what we are. Moving slowly through a mysterious life. Then Uchiyama talks about how a lot of different things. He goes off into his own life in this book. I recommend it very much. It's a wonderful book. And sometimes he just takes a little U-turn or a little right turn and goes off to talk about falling in love or being sick. About getting old. He says, if we think we are developing and getting a better state of mind in our Zazen, such practice is egoistic Zazen. Such a state of mind is, according to Suwaki Roshi, a demon Satori. Even while we wonder whether our Zazen is good or bad, we can just sit aiming at not being caught up in such thoughts, because those are just secretions from our brain. That's what he talks, how he talks about thinking. Aiken Roshi said, it's just like stomach juices. It just keeps coming. We're made to think. It says, almost all people practice Zazen in order to become better, but it is not right. Zazen is letting go of thought, which discriminates good and bad. So I think that's enough. For tonight. Uchiyama Roshi talks a lot about his own practice, and I think we can learn a lot from that also. It talks about old age and how it gets harder and harder. And I just saw a YouTube tape that someone sent me of Leonard Cohen, who made it showing how he served Suzaki Roshi when Suzaki was in his late 90s. And still going strong. So all things are possible with this practice. It doesn't have an end point. Though some Uchiyama Roshi himself retired at a certain point and just stayed home and entertained people who came with questions. Had a little glass of scotch in the evening and read the newspaper so he knew what was going on. That's how he ended his life. So, you all must have questions, comments? Yes?
What does Zen say about science?
Zen doesn't talk about science, but I think our life is about deep curiosity about life. Deep curiosity about life. That's how we live. And to plumb the depths of what there is to know, and realize that we will never know all of it. But certainly, science is a part of us. It's just our animal curiosity, you could say, taken to the nth degree, it seems like. But it's practice.
One other question. Is there anything supernatural about Zen?
It depends on what you mean by supernatural. I think what we call natural is much bigger and more mysterious than we think. And that what we call supernatural is really the nature of things. And that's part of our curiosity also, is to stay open to that. I think that's a very important point. Thank you. It's a good question. Yes.
While we are in easy to answer questions. what is your point of view of no self? I have lots of different point of views. What is yours?
I don't think no self is a point of view. I think it's a truth. It's reality. That the self is part of our thought process. That we have various experiences of our body and our thinking, and we assign a self to it that becomes assigned by other people also at the same time as something that looks like it's fixed. And yet, if you think about it, if you really look deeply into what a self is, it's not a fixed thing at all. It's always changing. And it has changed from conception, and actually from before conception, because then there's the sperm that got created and the egg that got created in those people, and they got created by a sperm and an egg that got created. So you can follow it all the way back, and it's still you. And you can follow it all the way up, and all the bits and pieces that we call me are constantly changing. You're not the baby that you were. You're not the kid. You're not the 20-year-old. You're not the old person you will be. I mean, we are just one flowing, changing, morphing, transforming part of life that's doing that too. We're like a tree, like a rose bush, says Thich Nhat Hanh. We're just living. But we can't really call the me that we hold so dear a permanent fixture. It's here for a minute. The one that is here right now isn't going to be here even next week, because things will happen in between. And certainly by the time we die, we won't be the same as we are right now or were when we were born. It's just a flow of form, matter, thought. It all takes, can't think of an analogy, but it's more like water than it is like a stone. So it means we can be free to enjoy ourselves, because we're not stuck. We don't have to be stuck being what we think we are or other people think we are. It's not like that. We are what we are, and the whole point of our practice is to just be that. Even if it seems silly or ridiculous or full of mistakes, which it is. I mean, in many ways, we're fools. We have to be. That's how we're made. And yet, what a life. It is.
If there is no permanent self, what is it that is reborn?
Well, I don't know. I really don't know. I know Tibetans who do know, or at least think they know, and I can't go there with them. It just seems a little bit too far out to me. But when I'm with them, I believe it completely because they believe it completely. It seems very real when they talk about it. But when I try to figure it out, I just can't do that. So I just leave it as an open question.
What about, I'll think about it later, go ahead.
Samia?
Oh, I know. One more question. Okay. What does nirvana mean to you?
Well, theoretically, according to the books and the sutras, nirvana is the burning out of the attachment to all things, being completely detached and burnt out. That's the description in the sutras. But in Zen, our experience is that samsara, this ordinary life of grief, hard edges, sharp corners. Hard edges and sharp corners of samsara is nirvana. Samia?
So going back to the question, the no self and the changing, constantly changing. So, is it by sitting or kind of rewriting the program for the computer so it's updated and it's working kind of smoothly? Thinking that, you know, we're like a computer and it needs to be updated so things are working. So does sitting do that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think sitting, keeps putting us in place without a definition.
It isn't trying to get the self out of it.
It doesn't turn us into a good thing or a bad thing or a better thing or a more pure thing or any of those things. It doesn't mess around with the self. It helps us to see that the self is an ephemeral, imaginary thing. It helps us not to be attached to this story of ourself.
So there is no better. By practicing, you're not getting better.
That's right.
You were good to start with.
Yes.
So it's as simple as that.
That's
you're
it.
Good, and you just sit to remember that you're good.
Exactly. And that goodness gets bigger once you are able to sit. The goodness of your own experience becomes the goodness of everything that you meet. You're able to encounter goodness where you go.
So this is why they say when you sit, you're sitting for others as well?
You do sit with others.
Mm-hmm.
Always. And sitting opens up that experience for us. You know, it's like the Theravadin practice of giving loving kindness to oneself first, and then you give it to your best friends, and then you give it to, you know, your enemies, and then to everybody you don't know. But you start out with loving kindness to yourself, and once that's a known element of your own experience, you're able to see and be with other people. And that's the point of practice. It isn't to exalt ourselves in some kind of way. It's to help us realize that what we meet is what we are. That we're not separate from anything or anyone. Well, it's after 8 o'clock, I'm sorry to say. There's a new sit in Willow Glen that is being led by Jill, the sewing teacher, Jill Kaplan. Some of you have been working with her. She's a wonderful teacher. And she has a little psychotherapy office in Willow Glen, and she has started a little sit there from 6:30 to 7:30 on Wednesday evening. So here's the information. I'll leave it here. There's some flyers here if you're interested. It's one more chance to sit. So... are there announcements? Wendy?
Yes. So a lot of you are aware we're looking forward to our annual 7-day sesshin of the Jikoji Zen Center in August. And as is traditional, we do a period of amgo, deepening of our practice before we go into sesshin, and that period will start this Saturday with our full day sit. You don't have to come for the full day, but you do have that opportunity starting at 9, and then we have a 1-hour lunch break and finish up at 4. So I'll be there to open the door at 8:30. If anyone would like to help set up, I would appreciate that. Do I have anything else? Is there anything else you can think of?
Well, the date of the sesshin starts on the 3rd of August, which is a Monday, and it finishes on the 9th, which is a Monday. So it starts in the evening, and in our practice, the gate is open all the time. So if you need to come and go, you can still participate as long as the cook knows that you're coming and can prepare. So everyone is welcome. And it's a beautiful place. And it's one of the few opportunities for long sitting. And I recommend it highly. Long sitting helps a lot.
Where is it?
It's up on Skyline. If you go through Saratoga up Highway 9 to the top and turn right on the highway before you start going down again, it's just 3 miles down on the left. It's up on the ridge. It's very beautiful.
And what is the name?
Jikoji. J-I-K-O-J-I.
Jikoji.
Jikoji. Yeah.
And there's details about sesshin on the Floating Zendo website, and directions to Jikoji are on Jikoji's website.
Yeah. Or if you Google where it's Jikoji, it will give you a map right from where you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. Of course.
And they have Sunday programs every Sunday, so if you want to check it out, you can go there for a Sunday set. They have 2 sets and then a talk and a lunch, so that's a good way to check it out.
It is. Thank you, Samia. That's exactly right. Yeah. It's worth a look.
Okay, 1 minute sit.
1 minute sit.